Have you ever climbed out of an airplane after a long cross country and felt a headache coming on, and told yourself it was the coffee or the dehydration, or just a long day in the sun? Maybe it was. Most of the time, it is. But there is a version of that headache that is trying to kill you, and it does not announce itself. It has no color, it has no smell, and by the time your body understands what is happening, your judgment is already the thing that has been taken away. This is Radio Hanger. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS. Today we are going to talk about carbon monoxide in the cockpit, why the National Transportation Safety Board keeps writing bulletins about it, and the simple, cheap habit that separates the pilots who walk away from the ones who don't. Here's what you need to know. This is not a rare exotic threat. It is a plumbing problem in an old airplane, and most of us are flying old airplanes. Before we get into it, a word about today's sponsor. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about the poison. Carbon monoxide is a product of incomplete combustion. Anytime you burn a hydrocarbon fuel and the burn isn't perfectly clean, you get carbon monoxide. Your engine makes it by the barrel. That is completely normal. And in a healthy airplane, all of it goes out the exhaust pipe and stays behind you where it belongs. The danger is not that your engine produces it. The danger is how it gets from the exhaust system into the cabin where you're breathing. And in most single-engine airplanes, the path is shorter than you would ever want it to be. Here's the part that surprises people. In a typical piston single, your cabin heat does not come from a separate furnace. It comes from air blown across the outside of the exhaust muffler. Ram air enters a shroud. A metal jacket wrapped around the hot exhaust picks up heat and gets ducted straight to the vent by your feet. It is elegant. It is simple. It weighs almost nothing. It also means that the only thing standing between the exhaust gas and the air you breathe is the thin metal wall of that muffler and the exhaust pipes. When that metal cracks and exhaust systems do crack, you have built a direct pipeline from the tailpipe to your lungs. Turn on the cabin heat and you're pumping poison into the cockpit. That is the whole mechanism. It is not exotic, it is a rusted out muffler and a heater shroud, and it has been killing pilots since before most of us were born. So why does carbon monoxide do what it does? Why is a colorless gas so much more dangerous than just breathing less oxygen? Because it cheats. Your blood carries oxygen on a molecule called hemoglobin. Carbon monoxide binds to that same hemoglobin. And here's the cruel part. It binds more than 200 times more eagerly than oxygen does. So even a tiny concentration in the air, a fraction of a percent, will steadily lock up your blood. The carbon monoxide grabs the seats on the bus and refuses to get off, and the oxygen your brain needs is left standing at the curb. The result feels almost exactly like the early stages of hypoxia, and that overlap is a trap all by itself. Headache, a little dizziness, tightness across the forehead, nausea, a strange sleepiness, and the one that gets pilots killed, impaired judgment, so that the very organ you would use to recognize the problem is the organ being starved. You do not gasp, you do not choke, you get dull, you get slow, you make a bad decision on the approach, and you never understand why. At altitude, it is worse because you are already working with thinner air, and the carbon monoxide is stealing from what little you have. Now, let me tell you why we are talking about this today. And it is not because of one dramatic crash. The NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, has flagged carbon monoxide as a recurring cause in general aviation accidents for decades. They have issued safety alerts on it. They have gone back through the wreckage of fatal accidents and found elevated carbon monoxide in the blood of pilots who flew a perfectly good airplane into the ground for no reason anyone could otherwise explain. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. When an airplane comes down in good weather, with fuel on board and an engine that was running, the accident report often reads loss of control for undetermined reasons. What the toxicology sometimes adds, quietly in an appendix, is that the pilot's blood was saturated with carbon monoxide. The airplane didn't fail the pilot. The exhaust system failed them both. And the board's frustration, the reason they keep coming back to this, is that it is one of the most preventable killers in the entire accident database. The fix costs about the price of a nice lunch. So let's talk about the fix, because this is the part that affects you directly. There are two lines of defense, and you need both. The first line is maintenance, and it belongs to your mechanic, but it belongs to you too, because you're the one who signs for the airplane before every flight. Exhaust systems are consumable. The heat, the vibration, the constant expansion and contraction, they work hard in the metal and they crack it. Mufflers rust from the inside out where you cannot see. The slip joints and the clamps loosen. This is not a sign of neglect. It is the nature of the part, which is why a proper annual inspection includes pulling the shrouds and pressure checking or carefully inspecting that exhaust system for cracks, for pinholes, for the telltale gray or white streaking of a leak. This affects you if you fly an older airframe, a Cessna 172, a Piper Cherokee, a Bonanza, anything with a few thousand hours and a muffler that has been on there longer than you have owned the airplane. Ask your mechanic directly when the exhaust system was last opened up and inspected, not glanced at inspected. If the answer is vague, that is your answer. And during your own pre-flight and run-up, there are hints. A change in the smell of the cabin heat. An exhaust note that sounds different, raspier, throatier than you remember. Soot or streaking around the exhaust stacks on the walk-around. None of these are guarantees, but they are the airplane trying to tell you something. The second line of defense is the one the NTSB has practically begged pilots to adopt, and it is the one you control, completely carry a real carbon monoxide detector. And I need to be specific here, because there is a piece of equipment in a lot of these airplanes that gives people a false sense of security, that little cardboard spot detector, the round adhesive dot with the orange center that is supposed to turn gray or black when carbon monoxide is present, stuck to the corner of the panel. Here's the problem with that dot. It is slow. It is not very sensitive. It fades and loses its potency over months, often long before its replacement date, and in the exact lighting conditions of a cockpit at dusk, you're not going to catch a subtle change in the shade of a 1-inch circle of cardboard while you're flying an approach. It is better than nothing. It is a lot worse than what you can buy for the price of a couple of hamburgers. What you want is an active electronic carbon monoxide detector with an audible and visual alarm. A digital one that reads out the concentration in parts per million and screams at you when it climbs. Some are aviation-specific, panel-mounted or portable units built for the cockpit. But the honest truth is that a good quality home unit, the kind you would put in your house, the battery-powered digital ones, has saved pilots too. The key features are a numeric display and a loud alarm that will get your attention over the engine and the headset. The NTSB's guidance is blunt on this. They want active detectors in the cockpit, not the dot. An alarm, put it where you will hear it and see it. Turn it on before you start the engine. And here is a habit worth building. Glance at that number the way you glance at your oil pressure. A healthy cabin should read at or near zero. If you see it climbing into the tens of parts per million, and especially if it is rising, that is not a maybe, that is a problem developing in real time. So now the scenario you're cruising along, and the detector alarms, or you feel that headache and that thickness behind your eyes and you put it together, what do you actually do? This is where I want to be precise, because the correct actions are simple and they are worth committing to memory now, on the ground. When your brain is fully oxygenated and thinking clearly, turn off the cabin heat immediately. That heater shroud is the most likely source, so you cut off the supply, get fresh air moving through the cabin. Open the fresh air vents, the ram air that does not pass over the exhaust. If your airplane allows it and it is safe to do so, crack a window or a storm window. You want outside air flushing that cockpit. If you have supplemental oxygen on board, use it. Oxygen is the direct antidote. It slowly forces the carbon monoxide off your hemoglobin, and the more you can breathe, the faster you recover. And then land, not eventually, soon. Declare if you need to. Tell air traffic control you have a possible carbon monoxide problem on board and you need to get on the ground at the nearest suitable airport. No controller in the country is going to give you grief for that, and every one of them will move heaven and earth to get you down. Here is the subtle danger in that whole sequence. Carbon monoxide poisoning degrades the exact judgment you need to run it, so you do not want to be inventing this checklist at 8,000 feet with a pounding head. You want it to be a reflex. Heat off, vents open, oxygen on, land now. 4 steps. Say them with me on your next pre-flight, and they will be there when you need them. Let me widen the lens for a moment, because carbon monoxide is not only an old airplane problem, and it is not only a winter problem. People associate it with cabin heat, and rightly so, the heater is the number one path. But that means people relax in the summer, when the heat is off, and that is a mistake. Exhaust gas can find its way into a cabin through firewall gaps, through worn door and window seals, through the wheel wells and cracks in the floor. Especially in certain conditions on the ground and in a slip or a slow flight configuration where the airflow around the fuselage does strange things. Ground operations are a classic setup. Sitting on the ramp, taxiing behind another airplane's exhaust, running up with a tailwind pushing your own exhaust back over the cabin. And it is not only a piston problem in the classic sense either. Any combustion source is a candidate. But for the vast majority of us flying general aviation singles and light twins, the story is the one we have been telling. A cracked exhaust and a heater shroud and a habit of not checking. There is a broader safety culture point buried in here, and it is the reason the NTSB keeps this on their list year after year. Carbon monoxide is the perfect example of a threat that is invisible, gradual, and easy to rationalize. Every symptom has an innocent explanation. Tired, long day, headache, dehydrated, a little foggy on the approach, just rusty. The human mind is extraordinarily good at explaining away a slow-moving danger, and carbon monoxide exploits that better than almost anything in aviation. The detector defeats that because it does not rationalize, it does not tell itself a story. It sees the number climb and it makes noise, and it makes that noise while you still have the wits to act on it. That is the whole value. It moves the moment of recognition from after your judgment is impaired to before. So here's what I'm asking you to do, and it is genuinely small. If your airplane has one of those cardboard dots and nothing else, treat that as a gap in your safety equipment, the same as a dead flashlight or an expired chart. Before your next flight, get an active carbon monoxide detector with a digital readout and an alarm into that cockpit. Portable is fine. Turn it on every time before start and add it to your scan. And the next time your airplane is in for its annual, ask the specific question. When was the exhaust system last inspected for cracks? And can we do it this time? Make it a conversation with your mechanic, not an assumption. That is the entire defense. A $10 or $20 detector, a habit of glancing at it, and an exhaust inspection you actually confirm happened against a killer that has been quietly padding the accident statistics for as long as we have been bolting mufflers to airplanes. The reporting and guidance behind today's segment come from the National Transportation Safety Board's safety alerts on carbon monoxide, along with the FAA's own advisory material on the subject. And I would encourage you to go read the NTSB alert yourself. It is short, it is free, and it might be the most valuable 10 minutes of reading you do this month. You can find more on this and our other segments at radiohanger.com. Check the number, check the exhaust, and keep breathing the good air. I'm Tower, this has been ATIS.